From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. Since January, more than 40 million birds have been affected by avian influenza or bird flu. Five counties in Idaho, Ada, Canyon, Gooding, Madison, and Caribou have reported outbreaks of the virus, which is highly contagious among birds. Backyard producers and commercial operations with flocks numbering from just a handful to 2 million birds have had to kill their flocks when they've become infected. Zoos across the country are working very hard to protect their birds from catching bird flu, and Zoo Boise is no exception. Joining us now is the executive director, Gene Peacock. Gene, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Thank you, Samantha. It's good to be back.
All right. Sorry, it's such an unpleasant topic. Let's start with bird flu. How is it spread?
So bird flu, it's not a new illness, and you have a highly pathogenic version and a low pathogenic version. It's always around, but it's when the high pathogenic version starts popping up is when you have concerns. And that is spread generally through waterfowl. When waterfowl migrate, they tend to spread it. And so what we're seeing now is through the annual migrations of the waterfowl, that's what it's being spread by. And it's typically found in either their droppings, the feces, or it can be through nasal discharge, saliva, really, really close contact. So those are the main ways it's spread.
Well, and I was reading, there was an NPR story that said it can get on equipment, clothes, yep. Cars and trucks can spread it. Even a mouse can track it inside a bird exhibit. Is that all true?
That's correct. And that's one of the reasons when the outbreak started, and it was primarily centered the middle of the country and back east, which have larger flyways for waterfowl migration. We started putting a plan in place in case it popped up here. But you're absolutely correct, is you can get it on the bottom of your shoes if you walk through our parks. And we have a lot of Canadian geese in here. And if there's goose poop in the park and you step in it, you can spread it that way. On your clothes, on your tools, everything. So one of the things we've done is put precautions in place for that. At the zoo, any bird that we have an indoor space where there is no access to any of that, we've kept those birds inside. Unfortunately, some of them we have to leave off exhibit because of that, but it's for their safety. And then our Stellar Sea Eagles and our penguins, we don't really have a place to move them. So if you come out here right now, we've covered them with plastic. So that keeps geese flying over, keeping any droppings or contaminants from getting in there.
Well, I mean, this has got to be quite the task. I've gone to Zoo Boise, gotten a snack, and then, you know, sit down in the courtyard and just watched families, giant families of wild geese and little baby geese just wandering around. I mean, you've got a lot to try and deal with there.
Yep. And Canadian geese are a protected bird. They are migratory waterfowl. So they are protected by the government. So we do have special permits where we can agitate them to shoo them out of the zoo, but we can't just go and get rid of all the geese. So it is challenging. Our maintenance team has done a good job coming in early in the mornings to kind of agitate them. So we haven't had as many in the zoo, but they're still here. And that's why we encourage people, even before avian flu popped up, a lot of people like to feed the waterfowl. It's actually really unhealthy, the bread and the things that people bring to feed them. It's very unhealthy for them. And so we try to discourage people from doing that, whether it's in the zoo or outside of the zoo. It's actually not a very good practice.
Absolutely. So you mentioned some of them are off exhibit, some of the birds.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the birds that we can still see? You mentioned the penguins.
Yep. So you can, our Stellar Sea Eagles are still on exhibit publicly. We've covered that exhibit. You can still go see penguins. Our Gorongosa Aviary, that's one of our new exhibits that opened up in the summer of 2019. All of that aviary has indoor aspects to it. So you can still go in that building and see all of those birds in their indoor exhibits. So those are the main birds that you can see. Our birds in our Africa section over by giraffes, we've got that small aviary. You can't see those birds right now. Tugel, who's our incredibly popular southern ground hornbill, he's right up at the front of the zoo. He's off exhibit right now because we don't have a way to protect him in that exhibit. But Google, so Tugel and Google, that's their names. Google you can see because she has an indoor component. So you can see some of them, probably about two-thirds of the collection of birds you can see in some form.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. We're speaking with the head of Zoo Boise, Gene Peacock, about how the zoo is protecting its birds from bird flu. Now, I know you're working with a lot of experts. Who is helping out with advice and with the effort to protect the birds?
So first and foremost, all the way through this recent outbreak, the USDA has been great at communicating information. We get weekly updates from the USDA, AZA, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, of which we're members of, will send updates. And just in zoo circles, modern technology makes it easy with chat rooms and message boards. So sharing information with other zoos and what they've done. And then here locally, the Department of Agriculture and Idaho Fish and Game, they've been great at sharing information. Our vets that we have at the zoo stay in contact with those folks. So we kind of hear about what's going on and recommendations on what to do. So great communication with all those agencies, and we wouldn't be able to prepare without all of that input.
Well, I was going to say, this is not just a problem for you. Zoos all over the country are trying to protect their birds.
Correct. And it's not just zoos. It's it really, really, number one, it affects the wild populations. We've found, you know, in Julia Davis Park, we'll find deceased geese. They found them in other areas. And a lot of people in our area have backyard fowl. They raise chickens in their backyard. And it can really, really impact those populations. So that's why we try to educate our zoo visitors at how it spread, like we mentioned earlier, and that if you find a dead bird, the natural thing is you want to pick it up and try to dispose of it properly. Fish and Game and the Department of Agriculture are encouraging people to not handle dead birds right now. We do here when we find them on grounds, staff wears masks, staff wear gloves. We have the disposable coveralls they can wear, access to any animal where birds are right now. You either have to wear disposable booties or disinfect it with your shoes. We go through all of those to protect our bird collection. So what people can do at home is if they absolutely have to handle something, make sure you wear gloves, make sure you wear a mask, wash your clothes after you handle the bird, because the version that we're having right now is one of the highly pathogenic. And if you've got birds at home, be it chickens or if you have pet parrots, parakeets and stuff, we just encourage you to do that to protect your birds.
Well, we've heard about chicken flocks, mm-hmm. you know, by the thousands that have caught the flu. All the birds had to be killed because yep. to stop the spread. And I really hate to ask this question, but what happens if one of your birds catches it?
Well, what happens if one of our birds catches it? We tend to keep our birds kind of segregated from each other off exhibit. So if a single bird catches it, that bird would, when it would pass from it, we would have to come through and we'd thoroughly disinfect everything, take all of the branching and everything out, and then reset everything. If it happened in, say, one of our aviary exhibits where one animal in there got it, then we would have to make the unfortunate decision for all of the birds in that single exhibit. Luckily, the exhibits that we have multiple species and multiple birds in it. They are indoors and self-contained. So as long as we take the proper precautions, we feel pretty good about keeping those birds safe. It's when they're outside and they can get that direct exposure that's really, really the threat.
And that's why you've pulled some off exhibit.
Correct. The ones that we don't have that inside viewing, we've pulled them off exhibit, or we've created the temporary structures like a penguin and sea eagle, so there is not that access.
How are visitors reacting to some of these birds not being on exhibit?
Well, sometimes we get people come in and they'll say there are not any animals on exhibit or anything, and where are the birds? We've got signage up. We try to keep the message on Facebook, but we've got a great education team, a great keeper staff team, and we've got a lot of zoo teams here through the summer. So we try to also make sure the public and the zoo visitors are aware why. And almost every time when you explain to them why we're doing this, they go, "We totally understand, and we're glad you're doing what you have to do to take care of your animals."
How are the birds responding? This is, for some of them, this has to be a real change in their environment and their routine. And
Yeah. There's most of the birds that are on exhibit in their indoor areas, they've got pretty large areas and they're doing really well. Some of our birds, like Claudia, our SARS crane that lives up in the plaza, she's limited to her indoor building, so she can still interact with people through the window, but she loves being out in her exhibit and interacting with the public. So the keepers are really going the extra step to make sure they have plenty of enrichment and spend time with those animals. So the ones that really do crave that interaction with the public, they're doing a great job behind the scenes to take care of their animal welfare and their well-being.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So when does this all go away?
So the information we got is they roughly say, and it can change, but they say that normally it takes about 150 days from the first case for the cases to subside and it not be an issue anymore. First cases were found here in, I want to say, early to mid-April. So we'll probably be in this state through the summer and into September. It's really hard to predict. But that's kind of what we're going off of.
Wow. So what can folks who come to the zoo, who love the zoo, what can they do to help?
Well, first, us getting the word out and them understanding that we do have to take the health of our collection as first priority. So understanding and bearing with us while we do this to take care of our bird collection. But just keep coming to the zoo. You can still see a lot of the birds. Our new tiger is here. She's doing great. People love her. All of our other animals are on exhibit. So just coming and supporting the zoo, that helps us keep the zoo operating. It helps us support conservation. We've got great support. We had great support through the past 2 years with the pandemic and even this summer. Great support. So just understanding we're doing what we do to take care of our collection and continuing the amazing support we get from the community.
That's awesome. Good luck to you. We've been speaking with Zoo Boise Executive Director Gene Peacock about the zoo's efforts to protect their birds from bird flu. And thanks for letting us know what you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us and helping us get the word out there.
Absolutely.